So here on Yud Ches Amud Beis, just to quickly review what we did last time, the Mishnah says at the beginning of the second perek that the Kohen Gadol gives edus. He has to show up in Beis Din if he knows testimony. And that's in contrast to a melech who's mentioned in the same Mishnah here at the beginning of the second perek, who is not made. So even though the king knows testimony, he does not show up in front of a Beis Din. It's a zilzul in his kavod. And the Gemara is not sure why that halacha of zilzul in his kavod shouldn't apply in the case of a Kohen Gadol. And to demonstrate this, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Now, we'll discuss a brisa. The brisa quotes the following halacha. A person is required to return a lost object if he finds it in the street. Mm-hmm. But the exception to that rule, which is derived from an extra pasuk called Visalamta, is the case of what's called a Zaken V'eino Lefi Chvodo. What does that mean? Let's try to translate that. A Zaken is a person of stature. He may be an elderly person, he may be the Nasi, he's the president, whoever he is. And he finds, let's say, an animal in the street. The animal roamed through the streets, it got lost, and it's below his dignity to get involved with this animal. You'd have to pick it up, you have to feed it, you have to take it out for, you know, and so forth and so on. So the Gemara derives from a special pasuk, which is called Visalamta, that in this particular case, he's not obligated in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aved. He doesn't have to be metapel, he doesn't have to pick up this animal, let's say I'm giving that example, there may be other examples, and deal with returning it to its proper owner. Now Rashi explains that this brisa is based on a principle which is formulated elsewhere in a different Gemara, in the Sefta Brachos, called Kavod HaBrios Doche Lo Taseh SheBetorah, which means that for the sake of the dignity of man, the halacha is very sensitive to human dignity, and if it's below your dignity to do this thing, then you're allowed to even violate a prohibition of the Torah.
So the word v'hisalamta is almost like a command.
Exactly.
They misinterpret.
Right. You know, as we think, because there's another pasuk that says lo tuchal l'salim, that you're not allowed to look the other way. But there's an extra pasuk that says v'hisalamta, and it's addressing this so-called zaken v'ena l'fi chvodo, telling him to ignore the aveda, and he's exempt from the aveda. We're going to see exactly the nature of that exemption as we go along, but let's just first put down the basics. Okay, now the Gemara here in Sanhedrin, after quoting this brisa, wants to apply the same principle to the case of a Kohen Gadol with regard to testimony, which means the following: that when a person comes in front of a Beis Din in order to testify, they interrogate him. And that's below the dignity of a Kohen Gadol. He's such an important person that he has a status similar to a Zaken V'eino L'fi Chvodo. So the Gemara sets up the following analogy. Just like in the case of Aveda, of a lost object, we're going to establish that a Zaken V'eino L'fi Chvodo. He doesn't have to disgrace himself. And if it's below his dignity to return the Aveda, the Torah says, don't return the Aveda V'salamta. So too, by analogy, in the case of a Kohen Gadol, for him to show up in front of a Beis Din to testify and then be interrogated by these judges, he doesn't have to do so. And now we have a problem, because the Mishnah opens up in the second chapter of Sanhedrin, it says that a Kohen Gadol made, that he indeed is obligated to show up in front of the court to testify. How do we reconcile that with the halacha derived from this halamta of Kavod HaBrios, that we don't expect the person to do a mitzvah that's below his dignity? That's the Gemara's kash. The Gemara, by the way, is so impressed by this question that the Gemara reinterprets the Mishnah, and it's only in one very unique case that we require the Kohen Gadol to show up in front of a Beis Din to testify, and that's for the benefit of a melech. Right? We have two people who both have this high status in Klal Yisrael. One is the melech, the king. The other is the is the Kohen Gadol. So for the sake of testifying on behalf of the Melech, we encourage the Kohen Gadol and obligate him to show up in the courts. But that's not true in the case of anyone else who's not a Melech. So anyone who's on trial, we apply the principle of Visalamta, Pomim Shatom Misalim, Zokin Vedok Lifodo, Gadol Kovin Abrios. These are all different ways of saying the same thing. And we don't require that the Kohen Gadol will show up for testimony. But again, in the Havam, you know, the Gemara raised this objection. The Gemara thought literally that the Mishnah is unqualified and it's an absolute statement. Under all circumstances, the Kohen Gadol has to come and give testimony. And the Gemara objects based on the principle of Zaken V'Eino Lefi Chvodo in Hashavas Aved. So here we have a kasha of the Tumim. Let's just mention historically that the Tumim was Rav Yonasan and Eibishitz. He lived approximately 200 years ago, and he wrote what was in his time was the magnum opus on Choshen Mishpat, on the laws of testimony and Bezdin. So he asks the following question. I don't understand what the Gemara is bothered by.
Do you have this sheet that I don't?
Did I give it to you?
No, I have Reish Samad Dalet.
This should say Reish Samad Dalet on it. No, you don't have that in your repertoire?
No. Thank you.
And now Reuven joined us, so he's going to want a copy. Maybe we'll take a break and make another, let's say, two copies. Can we get two more copies of that page?
This one page?
No, I think it should be a series of about I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 pages or so. Yeah, all right, Steve, thank you. Kolakodim Zoch, you got the mitzvah.
Yeah, it
is. It's apparently not a problem of Eino Lefich Vodo, you know, to do the photocopying. All right. Most of the time I do the photocopying. By the way, what is your first name, if I could ask?
Eliezer,
okay.
I didn't get yours.
My name is Azariah. Very similar to Eliezer. It's all about the help of God, right, Eliezer? Okay, so let's understand the following. The Rambam, when he codifies the halacha of Zokein Veinu Chvodo, which is in the 11th chapter of Hilchos Gzeila V'Aveda, the Rambam writes, listen carefully, Eino chayav lihitopel bahem. He gives various examples of someone who's a zaken, he called a sack, which is a big sack, or a kupa, and he gives other examples, and he says, kevon she'ein darko litol kelim elu. It's not according to his dignity, it doesn't reflect his stature in life for this zaken to lift up these very heavy Caleb and carry them on his shoulders. So therefore, the Rambam says, "Eino chayav lihitopel b'hem." What does that sound like to you when the Rambam says, "Eino chayav"? Yeah, if he wants to, he can do so. He's not required to return the aveda if he's a zakeh v'eino chifvodo. He's in a sense alleviated. He's exempt from the obligation, but. On the other hand, if he decides on his own volition that he wants to do so, then, as we say, Tavol Abracha. Now, there's another Rambam in the same chapter. The Rambam says the following: Haholech b'derech hatov ha'yoshar v'osa lifnim mishus hadin machzir saveda b'chol makom afal pishen hulchvichvodo. So if we had any doubts about our diuk in the Rambam, here the Rambam says outspoken, and the Rambam says explicitly that if he finds an Aveda, even though it's Eino Chvodo, but he's a person who fits the category of Vasisa Tova Yashar, and he wants to go Lifnim Mishur Sadin, so the Rambam says he should be Meshiv Aveda, Mikomkom Lifnim Mishur Sadin, he should be Mavater on his cover, give up on his dignity, on his honor. And so to speak, if I could use the proverbial phrase, get down on all fours in order to return this Aveda. So now let's get back to the Tumim. The Tumim says the following. The Mishnah opens up the second chapter of Sanhedrin and says, Kohen Gadol made it. And the Gemara has a problem with that. Why? Because for the Kohen Gadol, he fits into the category called Zokein the Eino Lefich Vodo. Frek the Tumim, I don't understand. The Gemara's Kasha is not a Kasha. Maybe what it says, made, it means that if he wants to, if he's motivated on his own, and he wants to go with Nimishra Sadin, then he's allowed to testify. The Mishnah continues and says that a Melech Eino made it, which means the following. That although a Zokim Veinel Chichvodo should be encouraged and praised if he wants to be Mavata on his Kavod, but not so in the case of a Melech. Because in the case of a Melech, his Kavod is not his own personal Kavod, he represents the entire state. And we have a principle which the Gemara formulates in many places, especially in Masechta Kiddushin, that Melech Shemachal Kvodo ain't Kvodo Mocha. That he's not capable, according to the Halacha, of waving his kavod. So maybe when the Mishnah contrasts a Kohen Gadol with a Melech, and it says Kohen Gadol Meid and Melech Eino Meid, we're not talking about the level of Chiyuv, because Eino Chinami, a Kohen Gadol is not obligated to be Meid, because it's a Zokin Venel Chichvod, like we saw in Hashava Saveda. But what the Mishnah meant to say is that he's permitted, he has license to be Meid, because he can be Mamchel on his kavod. In contrast to the Sefer of the Mishnah, the case of a Melech, where it says Eino Meid, that's a case where he doesn't even have the right to be Meid. He doesn't have the Eino, what we call the Lefnimishus Adin, to be Molchal on his Kavod for the sake of Hashavas Avedu, or for this case for the sake of Edus, because Melech Shigmachal Kvodo Ein Kvodo Mochal. And this part is the mind of the Tumim. Now what we want to study today is an essay called the Gvuras Yitzchak. This is a contemporary, Baruch Hashem, he's alive and well. His name is Rav Yitzchak Sirotskin. We've mentioned him on many occasions here in the Sanhedrin Be'ir class. And he is a Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood, New Jersey. Not in the big yeshiva, he has his own yeshiva in Lakewood. And he has an entire essay here to try to answer the question of the Tumim. That's what he took upon himself as a challenge. Now keep in mind that if we answer the question of the Tumim, then it's going to change the entire pshat now of Mishnah. Because we're no longer going to suggest the possibility that made means he's allowed to be made. And in contrast to the Melech, who's not allowed to be made. Now, how do we get started? We begin with a Beis Yosef in Choshei Mishpat, Simon Reish Samach Gimel. I don't expect you to remember that. And the Beis Yosef codifies a Machlokas Rishonim between the Rambam and the Rosh. Is a Zakein V'Eino L'Chvichvodo allowed to be mochel on his kavod and lefnivishu sadin return the aveda? We saw already in the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph Milchus Gzeil of Aveda, the Rambam is committed to the position that not only is a zaken lefichvodo allowed to return the aveda, but he's even encouraged to do so if he comes under the category of asisa vayoshev atov. Where is the source for this Rambam? And how did the Rosh interpret that same sugya that the Rambam derived his conclusion from? In Perek Elu Metzios, in Bav Metzia Daf Lamed, the Gemara tells us a story about Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael met a person who was carrying a very heavy utensil on his back. And he turns to Rabbi Yossi, to Rabbi Yishmael, and he says to him, "Can you help me? Can you help me fit this on my back so I can carry it?" What mitzvah are we dealing with? Anybody know? That's called a mitzvah prika te'ina. Actually, it's technically this is te'ina, but that's not relevant. Prika te'ina. You have to help a person to put a package on his back, or if he can't do it on his own, to take it off his back. And what Rabbi Yishmael did in this case was, he asked the individual, "How much is this worth? What's the total value of this object that you're carrying on your back?" Amale, he said to him, "Palga de Zuzi." So what does Rabbi Yishmael do? Digs into his pocket, pulls out a palga de Zuzi, and he pays him off. and now he owns the package, the afkere, and he makes it hefker. Okay, the rest of the story is a fascinating story, which is not relevant to us now. The fellow, after Rabbi Shmuel is mafker, he's zoch again, and it happens time after time. Every time he makes a half a zuz on the deal. But the Gemara asks, why did Rabbi Shmuel dig into his pocket to pay for this this object? He's not obligated in the mitzvah prika to eat it because he comes under the category of zaken veinu lechvichvoda. It's below his dignity to carry this kind of a package. So the Gemara answers, lifnim mishur sadin hu diyavin. He went beyond the letter of the law, meaning Enoch Inami, Rabbi Shmuel was not obligated in this mitzvah. He took it upon himself to fulfill the mitzvah, which he couldn't do, because it would be a pagia in his covenant. So he paid off the person and bought the object. However, the Rush there in Bava Metzia completely omits this story of Lifnim Mishur Sadin. You know that the Rush, classically, like the riff before him, just summarizes the halachic conclusions of a sugya. So the Tur, who's obviously the son of the Rush, when he quotes his father in this halacha, he writes, Kevan shepatra Torah sazokin she'ein lo lezalzel chvodo, iser hu legabei lezalzel v'chvodo. If this person is a representative of the Torah, you know, he's a scholar, then when it says Zokein v'enel chvichvodo is potur, he says, my father, the Rosh, didn't understand that he's potur, but rather, it's asur legabei kevan davi zilzul b'kovod ha-Torah b'mokom sheinu chayav. Now, in one situation, if you're chayav in a mitzvah, we'll soon see that there are mitzvahs that we're going to obligate the Talmud Chacham, the Zokein. Now that's one thing. Then he might have to be mezalzel in his cover. But in this case where we have a pasuk that says v'salamta, to exempt a Zokein v'enel chifoda from the mitzvah of Hashavas HaVeda, says the Torah in the name of his father, asur lo, he's not allowed to go lefnim mishur sadin and be mezalzel in his cover. So let's just summarize the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is recording a machlokas between the Rambam on the one side and the Rush on the other. The Rambam had a girsa in which the Gemara says that Rabbi Shmuel gave money because he was mekayim this mitzvah despite the fact that he's a zaken shenel chifodo lifnim mishur sadin. So the Rambam, based on his girsa, the Gemara codifies this halacha. As we saw earlier, that a zokin v'enel chifodo should be encouraged, the asisa v'yoshev atov, etc. But the Rush didn't have that girsa, and according to the Rush's girsa, all we know is that the zokin v'enel chifodo is not included in the mitzvah, not in the mitzvah Hashavas HaVeda, not in the mitzvah prikut te'ina, and once he's exempt from the mitzvah, there's nothing that allows him to be mezalzel in his kavod. But unless you have that mitzvah and that obligation, then we go back to square one. You're carrying and you're reflecting the covenant Torah. You can't be mezalzel in the covenant Torah. And therefore the Rush says that in the case of Zokin ben Chifoda, not only is he potur from Hashavas HaVeda and Prikantina, but he's asur lezalzel b'chvoda. So that leads us to an analysis of this machlokas between the Rush and the Rambam. So if anyone here would like to see this inside, I always offer you that option. It's on page Reish Samach Hei, the bottom right, and it's a paragraph that starts with the word Vehine. In what I call, again this is just my commentary, typical yeshivish style, we have what's called a chakira. A chakira means two ways of understanding the law, a halacha, and then we come up with a nafkamin. Now, there's a yeshiva out in Ohio where they're famous for having chakiris which have no nafkaminis at all. You know, is the glass half filled or is it half empty? But we come from a different school of thought, and we're not from Ohio, even though actually my roots are in Ohio, but we don't have that sheet. If there's going to be a chakira, we're going to have two ways of defining the halacha, then that's a methodological, very valid approach, but only it's only worth your time if it has enough gemin. So the Gevurah Yitzchak says that there are two ways of understanding the pasuk v'salamta zokir ven el chvichvoda. One he calls a din dechia, and the other he calls a din ptur. Let me explain. What's the difference between a ptur and a dechia? A ptur means that you should be included in the mitzvah, but the Torah exempts you. I'll give you an example of what I think he has in mind, although he doesn't mention this. Nashim b'mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So we say that Anisha is ptura, but she's included in the mitzvah, and I'll prove it to you. Rabbi Tam goes as far as to say that if a woman volunteers for a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, she even makes a bracha on the mitzvah. How can you make a bracha on the mitzvah if you're excluded from the mitzvah? The answer is, this is not a law of exclusion, but rather a law of ptur. Ptur means the Torah says, we're not going to include you in the obligation. So if a woman wants to hear the shofar blowing of Rosh Hashanah, she wants to take the Dalet Minim on Sukkis, according to Rabbeinu Tam, she'll make a bracha. Again, we have to understand the sheet of the Rambam. That's a different, not for us today. The Rambam says that a woman could not make a bracha and will not make a bracha on a mitzvah seh shazman grama. But in general, I think Rabbeinu Tam is pedagogically more appropriate for us, more fitting for our discussion, that when you have a ptur, you can take it upon yourself voluntarily to fulfill the mitzvah, even though you're potter. Then we have a different concept, which is not a ptur, but a dechia. A dechia means that there's something about you and your situation, your station in life, which completely undermines the mitzvah. It's not that the Torah says you're included in the mitzvah, but we're going to exempt you. We're going to alleviate you from the responsibility to implement the mitzvah. But rather, we're going to be doche you from the mitzvah. That's called dechia. I'll give you an example. Okay, I'm going to test you now.
Doche the man or the mitzvah, or it doesn't make
that any this difference. Individual, as far as the mitzvah is concerned, has dechia. The mitzvah is completely nidches as far as he's concerned. I'll give you an example. Supposing the sukkah, let's say it rains on sukkahs. Do you remember this Ramah? Let's see if I'm testing you to see if you remember the Ramah. So the law is that if the rain is coming down hard, and you know the drops are coming through, etc., etc., then you're potter from the mitzvah of sukkah. Is that a ptur or a dechia? Do you remember the Ramah? Can I sit in the sukkah in the rain? I'm a big shot. I want to go lift nimishus. I did. The Torah said I'm potter. Right? It's not teishu came to do. Is that a ptur or a dechia? It's a dechia. The Ramah says if you go ahead and eat in the sukkah, then Hareu kehejot. Now I have to tell you that in the Ramah's lingo, a hejot is not a very complimentary term. It's like calling someone an amaretz. You know, like that's just the worst thing you could say about someone. So you're totally ignoramus if you sit in the sukkah and you say, "Oh, I don't care about the rain. I'm going to sit in the sukkah." And if you make a bracha, it's a bracha of atol. Why can't I take upon myself voluntarily to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, even though I'm potter, because it's a case of rain that's coming down into the sukkah? So there's a philosophical answer to this question that has to do with midas adin, midas harachamim. And you know, you remember the mashal of the Mishnah. It's like an eved who's coming to pour water in a kiton shamayim, and the adon, the master, takes the water and he throws it over the head of the eved. You know, he splashes it back in his face. But be that as it may, I'm just giving you an example of the concept of dechia. And there are many examples of dechia. There's a whole sugya in Masechta Sukkah about yesh dechia b'mitzvahs. But what the concept of dechia means is a total rejection of the mitzvah in that set of circumstances. Let's apply this now to zaken ve'en el chvichvodo. Is zaken ve'en el chvichvodo a ptur or is it a dechia? Anybody? Don't be scared here. We're all amongst friends. So, you know, whenever I ask you such a question, you have to answer me, it depends. You know, I need a complex answer. Let's take the Rambam's opinion. What did the Rambam say about a zokim ve'en el chvichvodo? Do you remember? Exactly. The Rambam encourages him to return the Aveda despite the fact that it's Eil Chichvodo. Apparently the Rambam understood, as you said very well, Steve, that what's the halacha of Isalamta? It's a halacha of Ptur. You know, the Torah alleviated him from that responsibility. He's not obligated to return the object or to do prika to Ino. If he wants to put himself into the Chiyuv, that's fine. That's like Rabbeinu Tam's understanding of Zokei, of an Isha with regard to Mitzvah Say, Shazman Groma. If she wants to take it upon herself to fulfill that Mitzvah, is Tavo Leh Bracha. Here I mean Bracha Tarte. Not only she'll be blessed, but she's allowed to bless, right? However, the Rosh understood that this Saloch of Dechia, meaning there are certain mitzvahs that maybe the Torah would impose upon a Zokin Veil Chichvodah, Belinetta will see an example in just a few minutes, but in the case of Hashavas Aveda and Prika Te'ina, which are similar to Hashavas Aveda, the Torah is Docha the mitzvah. It's completely out of the realm of the Zokin Veil Chichvodah. This mitzvah is completely out of the orbit. There's no room for a kiyum mitzvah whatsoever. You can't take it upon yourself to do this mitzvah because it's anal chifodo. And if it's anal chifodo, forget about this mitzvah. The mitzvah was never intended to undermine the kavod of the zaken. And in order to protect the kavod of the zaken, the Torah says v'salamta, that you must look the other way. You cannot get involved in this aveda. Again, we can only justify the rush if we don't have the girsa that the Rambam has in our Gemara of Baba Tzia Daf Lama, namely that Rabbi Yishmael was acting lifnim mishur sadin. So if you take a look here, v'nira, a paragraph on the left side, d'zeu yisod plugtas harambam v'harosh. Im zaken veil chichvod rashoi, is he allowed, is he permitted, lezalza b'chvod b'makom sheino chayiv, in order to fulfill this mitzvah, even though it's lifnim, he's not obligated. The Rambam sover, the Rambam understands that the din that's derived from this alamta of zaken veil chichvod is a ptur, greater means alone, that's all it is, a ptur. It's nothing more profound or more radical than a ptur. Shelo chivaso atorah, the mitzvah zu, I'm adding, heichad the eino lefichvod. He's allowed to, he has license to take it upon himself beyond the letter of the law to fulfill this mitzvah. That because of his kavod abrios, which in this case is kavod haTorah, he's a zaken, we completely reject the mitzvah saseh, the mitzvah losas. So you know that Hashavas Aveda has two sides to it, right? It's a mitzvah saseh hoshev teshiveh, it's a mitzvah losas, a lusucha lisalim. All that is nidcha. It's completely rejected. It's off the screen. It's not just that we're saying you don't have to implement the mitzvah, but what we're saying is it's a gather of dechia, in which the mitzvah is completely nidches, you cannot take it upon yourself to fulfill the mitzvah, it would be totally meaningless, because the Torah is protecting the kavod here of a zaken, the enelach v'chvodo. And in the language here, the Gevurah Yitzchak, he completes his presentation by saying, De'aloha mitzvah nidches mikoha kavod abrios, ulekach osur lezalzel b'chvodo. If the mitzvah is completely out of the orbit here, it's not like you can have an option and volunteer for the mitzvah, and then since you obtain the mitzvah and you fulfill the mitzvah voluntarily, you have a mitzvah, and that mitzvah is going to mitigate against the kavod haTorah over here because you're doing a mitzvah. And for the sake of the mitzvah, even though you're not obligated, you can in a sense lower your guard as far as kavod is concerned. But according to the Rosh, there is no mitzvah. The mitzvah is completely nidches. And if you're, you know, if there's a, it's kind of like nidches is sort of like a. If anybody could help me here with the physics here, when you have two forces that completely repel each other, you know, it's like, instead of gravity, it's an anti-gravitational force. I don't know, anybody here study physics?
Yeah, well, we have two magnets, a plus versus this plus, and they reject each other.
Is there a word for that in physics? One word? Or?
Well,
it's Eliezer.
There's a It's what do you call an accident at a distance.
It's called an accident at a distance? Yeah,
no, it contacts a collision without contact.
A collision without contact. Okay, good. I like that. I'm going to write that down. A collision without contact. I like it.
Yeah, but, you know, it's common sense. If you take the poles, you mount on a kiddie car, you mount the magnet plus and minus, the other kiddie car plus and minus. You put the plus versus the plus. The closer they get, the more they repel.
They repel. So that's what Dachiyah is all about. It's a collision without contact. They repel each other.
How do you figure it out? How does that fit?
No, what I'm saying, that's what the concept of Dachiyah means, that this Kavod HaBrios repels the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda under these circumstances, right? If it's a kind of an object that if you metapel, if you try to return it, it's going to undermine your Kavod HaBrios. That's not just a p'tur, but rather it's a collision. There's a head-on collision here between the concept of Hashavas Aveda in this particular circumstance and the Zaken Lefichvodo, who's in charge and is responsible for the Kavod of the Torah that he represents. That's the way the Rosh understood it. The Rambam, on the other hand, doesn't see it as a collision. There's no repelling force over here. The Rambam is saying that the Torah alleviated you. You know what? That far the Torah didn't go to obligate you. I'll give you an example. I say a shiur here once a week. I started this series last week in Meshech Chochmah, which is the commentary in the Torah of Rameir Simcha Mitzvins. So I decided to try this experiment, and every week, based on the Parashat HaShavuot, to choose one insight of Rameir Simcha. So Rameir Simcha says in Parashas Breishis that it says v'kivshua, and from that word v'kivshua, the Gemara says that a woman is not obligated in the mitzvah milchama because ein darko shel isha lichbosh. I'm not going to go into detail about that, but the next point, because that's the Gemara, but Rameir Simcha goes a step further. And he says that the mitzvah period of Arivia, which is formulated in Parashas Breishis and reiterated a second time in Parashas Noach, and Chazal asked why the Torah had to repeat it, that mitzvah is incumbent upon a man and not a woman. A woman is exempt from the mitzvah period of Arivia. So technically it means if a woman doesn't get married, she hasn't violated any mitzvah. What do you say, Daniel? So the Gemara says, because after period of Arivia, it says v'kiv shua, and ein darko lichbosh. So Rameir Simcha has a gevaldige chiddush. Listen to this chiddush. He says that the reason why the Torah obligated a man in period of Rivia, not a woman, this is Rameir Simcha, and if I said it, they would probably put me in cheret. But he said it 100 years ago. And he says that the reason is because there's a principle in Torah called Drachel Darche Noam, and for a man to reproduce is not in any way a violation of this principle of Drachel Darche Noam. But for a woman, you have an additional problem, and that is that pregnancy and birth for a woman is karuch, is involved in a sakana. And the Torah never tells you to do a mitzvah if it means putting your life into danger. And for a woman, childbirth is dangerous. Now you and I may say, well, what are the statistical probabilities of a woman dying in childbirth? But, you know, today we're doing a little bit better, but back in the day, I don't know exactly what the percentage was, but according to Rameir Simcha, whatever that percentage is, let's call it 16%, that's enough to qualify as a sakana. Therefore, a woman is exempt from the mitzvah period of Rivia. A mind-boggling chiddush of Rameir Simcha. And Rameir Simcha says that there is one mitzvah in the Torah that obligates you to put your life into danger, and that's the mitzvah milchama. And a soldier is not allowed to say, well, I'm not going out to battle because my life will be in danger. That's the mitzvah milchama. It's one of the 613. But who's obligated to milchama? Only men and not women. So women were never obligated in any mitzvah to put their life into danger. Hence, says Rameir Simcha, women are not obligated in the mitzvah period of Rivi. Now keep in mind, Rameir Simcha is not discouraging a woman from getting married and bearing children. You remember that Rachel Avinu says to her husband, in Kei Mesa Anochi. So certainly the Torah understands that a woman could fulfill the mitzvah period of become pregnant and give birth, but she's doing it on a voluntary basis according to Rameir Simcha. So there are many mitzvahs where the Torah says, I can't obligate you because it's not drachel dachi noam, but if you decide to waive your rights and go ahead and fulfill that mitzvah, then we applaud that. You will get credit for that. You'll get brownie points. So that's the case of Ashomas Avedo in a Zokin Venel Chifodo Lefishitas HaRamba. Because the Rambam encourages the Zokin to return the Avedo. He understood that if Vesalamta is Pomim Shatom Vesalim is only a Ptur, an exemption, but it's not an exclusion. It's not a collision, but rather an exemption. And if you're exempt from a mitzvah, if you want to put yourself into the chiyuv, you can certainly do so, and we'll even encourage you to do so. Mashen came the Rosh. The Rosh understands that the nature of Zokin Vinil Chifodo and Kovod Abrios and what we derive from Isalamto is a dechia, right? A dechia. And therefore, if it's not just the Ptur, but it's even upgraded to the level of dechia, it's much more profound. And therefore, there's an exclusion here in which the Zokin Vinil Chifodo is excluded from the mitzvah. Once he's excluded from the mitzvah, we go back to square one. He's obligated to be shomer, so to speak, to protect and preserve his kavod, because his kavod represents the kavod atov.
So the aseva sisa tevi yosha is completely irrelevant to this dechuyah, is it not?
Correct. And therefore, vasisa yosha v'tov is completely, how should I say, expelled. It's thrown out of the water. You know what I mean? There's no vasisa yosha v'tov over here, because it again, there would be cases where there's a ptur. So again,
there is a ptur. Yeah,
right.
But it's the chiyuv. It shouldn't even know.
Right. The rules are the same. The rules are the same, both according to the Rambam and according to the Rosh. The question is how to apply those rules. The rules are the following two rules: whenever you have a ptur, then there's room for asisa v'yoshev atov. Whenever you have the chiyuv, there's no room for asisa v'yoshev atov. It's out. Now the question is, how to understand Vesalamta, the case of Zokin Venel Chikvodo. The Ram understood it was a Ptur, and that's the nature of the Din. And the Rosh understood that it was a Din of Dechia. And if it's a Din Dechia, there's no room for what? V'yasisa v'yosha v'ato. Now based on this, the Gvuras Yitzchak wants to attempt to answer the Kasha of the Tumen. So let's see how he develops it in the next paragraph. Diva Amaskel Vihine.
So I've got one other little problem. The case of a melech,
yep,
who can be meuchel, but he can't be meuchel for his malchus.
Correct.
If we say it's dechia, how does it even come into it?
I'm not sure if I understand your question.
If the case of a melech is based on the whole thing is based on dechia. So how did even why was it going to have a minna that he could be
murdered? Oh, you mean to say why did the Mishnah have to bother telling
you? Yeah.
Okay, so that question I think we'll answer in the next paragraph. Hold on to you, but again, I'm not so bothered by your question, Daniil, because I don't know that there was a difference. Let's say in the Rambam's frame of reference, you know, if the halacha of Isalamto is halacha of Ptur, I can apply that to a melech as
yes,
well.
Yes, yeah.
So therefore, the melech would be allowed, if he's potter, to jump in and do the mitzvah. So according to the Rosh, you're right. If there's no room for a ptur, it's all a dechia, then that certainly with a kalachomer should apply to a melech. Well, let's take a look and see. The next move here, as I call it, is a very sharp move. And we'll see how this will answer up the kasha of the tumen. And Rabosa, you'll be the jury, and you'll decide whether you accept this thesis. Very, very revolutionary. He says the following. According to the Rambam, that Zokin Venel Chvichvodu is a Ptur, and it's not Techir, it means that the Torah says, we're not going to obligate someone who fits this category of Enel Chvichvodu. Fine. He's Rashoi, he has the permission, Lahachmir al Atzmo. Now let's ask the following question and see if we understood what this means. According to the Ram, it's a din ptur, but Rashoi Lahachmir al Atzmo, Lefnimishus Adin, and therefore the Zokain is allowed to return the Saveda and take it upon himself to do so. Here's the question I want to ask you. And think twice about this. in a case where, according to the Rambam, the Zaken V'enel Chifoda decides that Lefnimishus Hadin, he wants to take upon himself to fulfill this mitzvah, even though it's Enel Lefichvoda. Is that called Mechila? Or is Mechila totally unnecessary here? Right, we have a concept in Halacha that a person can be mochel on his kavod under certain circumstances. Again, we have to see the parameters. But when the Rambam says that the Zochei V'enel Chichvodo can take it upon himself to return the object, is that operating midin mechila? Think twice about it. I would think that the first reaction, you know, your knee-jerk reaction would be, that's called what? That's called mechila. Says the Gemara, Yitzchak Meir, that's not mechila at all. We don't need the din of mechila. Forget about the din of mechila. Whenever a person is included in a mitzvah, but he's exempt from the mitzvah, and he wants to take it upon himself to fulfill the mitzvah, we don't need a din mechila. We don't have to activate the din of mechila in this context. The Torah is saying that we're all included in this mitzvah. Even a Zaken V'enel Chifodo, we can exempt him and say, well, he doesn't have to disgrace himself, but it's his decision whether he wants to fulfill the mitzvah on an optional, voluntary basis. There's no need for mechila. So let's look at it inside. This is the paragraph that starts Vehine. He says that according to the Rambam, the Svilei Rambam, the so din Zaken V'enel Chifodo patur, but he's Rashoi Lachmer al Atzmo. He says, "Lo tzarech l'din mechila." I want to underline those four words. And now we get to the punchline, and that is, what about a melech? He says, "Nira de kamochen." Right, that's what you call hu adin melech she'eno meiv mipnei shelo havi lefich vodo. Right, a melech has even a greater level of kavod than that of a kohen gadol. So since giving testimony in front of a bezdin, being interrogated by the shoftim, is eino lefichvodo, ein ze ela p'tur bi'alma. We're going to again apply the principle of zaken v'enel chichvodo the way the Rambam applies it, which means that we alleviate him, in this case the melech, of his responsibility to give avos. Aval ilu ratza lahayid, if there's no static here from the dechia, right? Because Rambam doesn't recognize this din dechia; it's only a p'tur. Then Rashi, he should be allowed to give edus. The afal gav, you'll ask me, but melech shemochal kvodo ain kvodo mochal. Why is that objection completely irrelevant, completely meaningless? Rabosai, what? Because we're not working with din mechila. According to the Rambam Shita, that if it's below your dignity, the Torah alleviates you from the mitzvah. It has nothing to do with anything but vasisa vayoshvatov, anything but voluntarily accepting upon yourself to implement this mitzvah. Has nothing to do with the din mechila. So even though melech shemochal kvodo ain kvodo mochal, the halacha of eino lefichvodo doesn't mean that we're talking about mechila. Oh, this is a terrible thing, and it's so below his dignity that we're going to have to prohibit it. No, the Rambam doesn't have this business of a collision without contact. Right? He doesn't have this problem of eino lefichvodo as a mafkia, as a dechia. That's not docha the mitzvah. He's only alleviated from the mitzvah. And we're going to apply that principle to edus in the cases of kohen gadol, in the case of melech. The kevah deinu chifod and chayav lahoid. In these cases, it's deinu chifod lahoid. He doesn't have to give edus. Aval im rotza rashoi lasos lifnei mishur sadin. Is miyata, if this be the case, then at least according to the Rambam, we have a beautiful answer to the Tumim's question, Osi Shapir. Now it makes sense, Hode Parach HaGemara, the Gemara says, Amai Meid, Valo Havi Einol Chifodo. So what was the Tumim's objection? Maybe when the Mishnah says Meid, it means if he wants to testify on his own initiative voluntarily, he's allowed to do so. Velo tikshi dinema demai detnan meid hainu im yirtzeh. But then we have a problem because the Mishnah sets up a contrast between two people. Who are those two people? The Kohen Gadol on the one hand and the Melech on the other hand. The Mishnah says that Kohen Gadol made it. And then the Mishnah says Melech Eino made it. That doesn't make any sense if we're talking about a voluntary Eidus, because if the Kohen Gadol in this Mishnah is made because he volunteers to be made in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Asisa Vayoshev Atov, then the same halach will apply to a melech. What are you going to tell me that melech is different than Kohen Gadol because melech can't be mochel on his kavod? According to the Rambam, we're not operating within the framework of mechila. We don't need a mechila over here because the only din of Eino Lefichvodu is number one, and that's all it is. It's a p'tur. It exhausts itself in a p'tur. There's no additional element here of repelling, of the fact that it's below his dignity that repels the mitzvah. We're not repelling the mitzvah. We're just saving him and sparing him of the obligation of the mitzvah. If that be the case, then we don't understand the Mishnah. What is made and ain't made? The only way we can understand the Mishnah and justify the contrast between Kohen Gadol and Melech is if we assume that the word made means he's obligated to be made. And here's the difference between a Kohen Gadol and a Melech. That's what he says on the next page. He says, Lefi Amavur, we've explained the Af Melech Rashai Lahad, according to Rambam Shita, even a Melech could voluntarily testify. In Cain, Baal Karchuk, we have no choice. If the Mishnah is establishing a contrast between Melech and Kohen Gadol, Maidus Nan Kohen Gadol made. When the Mishnah says made, Hainu Shechayev Lahad, that he's obligated to be made, as opposed to the Kohen Gadol, as opposed to the Melech who's not obligated. And herein lies the conscience. Because again, if you're talking about on a voluntary level, according to the Rambam, there's absolutely no hair's breadth of difference between the Kohen Gadol and the Melech. They're both exempt from the mitzvah, but can take it upon themselves to be mischayev in the mitzvah. So how do we begin to understand the difference between Kohen Gadol Meid and Melech Eino Meid? If we're talking about voluntarily, and as we said before, we don't need mechila, then both Kohen Gadol and Melech equally are uniform. They both could be made on a voluntary basis to be mekayim the mitzvah of Asisa V'Yashar HaTov. It must be that what the Mishnah meant, we have no choice, but to say that made means that the Kohen Gadol is obligated to be made. So the Gemara asked, why is that so? After all, the Kohen Gadol is in the position of a Zokin Ven El Chichvodo, and therefore he should be exempt from the mitzvah of Eidus. How many people in the room understood what I said? I'm just curious. Do you have it?
Not my kind.
I didn't
see the logic.
You don't see the logic.
I still see mechila there.
But why mechila? Again, if you're talking about mechila, then you're saying that his kavod is being insulted, is being undermined in such a way that he has to have an active mechila on his kavod. The Rambam is not saying that. The Rambam is saying that it's not that his kavod is so, what word can I use, violated and disgraced, that therefore he has to be mochel. That's not the Rambam's approach. If the Rambam was operating with that approach, he would have come to the conclusion, as the Rosh says, that it's a problem of dechia. The Rambam understood that this halacha of Pom Shatom Misalim is only a p'tur. If it's only a p'tur, then I can voluntarily accept it. The Torah is not saying that there's such a profound violation of the covenant here that it would be a zilzul and a biasur. The Rambam doesn't accept that. The Rosh accepts that. That Zokhe Benel Chifodo is that you're undermining, you're irritating the kavod in such a way that the kavod is now being disgraced, it's being trampled upon. The Rambam never accepted that view. All the Rambam saw in the halacha of Zokhe Benel Chifodo is halacha p'tur. That here the Torah didn't want to go as far as to say that you're chayav in the mitzvah, and the Torah says it's optional. You decide whether you want to do the mitzvah. Like a woman who's busy, you know, cooking in her house, and we say to her, well, it's time to do a mitzvah. So we say, you know, we're not going to impose that obligation on you, or the Rebbe Simcha Bad period of a review. It's a question of option. It's an optional mitzvah. The Rambam understands that in the case of Zokin Venil Chifot, we have an optional mitzvah. It's not a problem of irritating and undermining the kavod. It's just an option. So if you have the option, you don't need mechila. I don't have to be mochel on the kavod to undermine the kavod and neutralize the kavod if it's only a din of p'tur, meaning that it's a voluntary mitzvah.
Made may mean he must testify or he may testify. So the only way you can know what it means is there's a counter statement within the sentence.
Correct. So the Gemara understood in the Havamina that made means he's obligated to be made in contrast to the Melech who's not obligated.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, how can you obligate the Kohen Gadol to be made? He's a Zaken Melech Lichvodo. Right. But if you go with the Tumim, and the Tumim is assuming that the word made in the Mishnah would mean that he can voluntarily give Eidus, then that principle, according to the Rambam at least, should apply equally to the case of a Melech. How do you justify the contrast? So there's no choice. We're forced in this fallback position that the word made in our Mishnah means that he's obligated to be made. And the Gemara asks, under what circumstances is the Kohen Gadol obligated to be made since he's a Zakeh Menel Chlifot? Until the Gemara comes up with that case of a testimony on behalf of him.
Like a million years ago, I heard that some very similar thing to me. Let's say somebody's in danger, Shabbos Vechuya or
Hutra.
Or Hutra, that's it. So, I'm wondering
if there's any connection
between the terminology than the terminology you're using.
No, I'll tell you what. Hutra and Dechuya, it sounds the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's reminiscent by sheer association, but it's very tricky. You know, you can fall into a toast. They're fundamentally two different concepts. I'll tell you what.
100 years ago, I remember something.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Do you mean that literally 100 years ago?
Almost.
Just kidding, Elias.
Almost.
Yeah. By the way, Elias, if you want a drink, after we finish the shiur in a few minutes, I'll get you a drink. We have coffee, we have tea. I don't know if we have any schnapps, that I don't know. That you have to come on Shabbos. Okay, so here's the deal. The distinction between Hutra and Dechuya applies to Losase. The distinction between Ptur and Dechuya applies to Mitzvasase. I used to give a class back in the day in Derech Halima. This would be a very profound example, and a very common example of Derech Halima, of methodological principles. With regard to a losase, the Torah says that under certain circumstances we have to override the losase. For example, v'chai b'hem v'losha yomus b'hem. In avodas hakorbanos, we can have this all the time, left, right, and center. What does that mean? A or B? Does it mean dechuya? It means that really the losase applies, but for the sake, the greatest sake of hatzolos nefashos, of v'chai b'hem, we're going to allow overriding the losas. So on the one hand, you have to preserve human life, that's atzola. But don't fool yourself. On the other hand, you are violating the law. You're allowed to do so, but you're violating the law. That's called dechuya. Hutra is an entirely different story. Hutra means that the Torah never prohibited you from doing a molach on Shabbos l'dugma for the sake of hatzolos nefashos. What's the nafkamina? What difference does it make whether I tell you that you're violating the law that the Torah permits you, and telling you that you're not considered violating the law? The Torah would never even impose that lotus on you. The difference is, do you have to do it in a way in which you minimize the damage? So if, let's say, you hold the chuyah. Again, my Rebbe was very opposed to this. Reb Chaim used to quote his grandfather, that Reb Chaim understood that when it comes to pikuach nefesh, it's hutra. But let's say, just for theoretical, you know, just in the theoretical abstract world, let's say we'd apply the methodological principle of dechuya to the case of pikuach nefesh. What that would mean is that if you could violate the Shabbos in the most minimum way possible and yet gain your goal of saving a life, that's what you'd have to do. So, for example, if there's a Jew and a guy, and the Jew is a physician, and the guy is a physician, then the Jew would encourage the guy to violate the Shabbos, right? Now then him. That's called dechuya. But if you hold hutra, is then the greatest gadol in Israel should be the one to violate the Shabbos, because hutra means that there is no violation of Shabbos here. It's not an avera at all. The Torah never included this in the prohibition. And now, adarabah, now you're involved in the mitzvah matzolos nefesh. Don't give up on that mitzvah. Whereas dechuya means, you know, you're doing the mitzvah and we have license to do it, but at the same time you're going to pay the price because you're violating a law. That's called dechuya. Now, when we get to mitzaseh, then we have a whole different set of rules and regulations, and that's called ptur versus dechuya. And basically, what dechuya means here in this case is not dechuya in the case of losaseh and bikuach nefesh. Here, dechuya means that there's something in the kavod of the zaken that repels the essay. The essay would be irritating and undermining of that very kavod. And that excludes any possibility of asisa vayoshev atov, because of the nature of the halacha v'salamtev, it's being megala, it's revealing to us that you are undermining the very kavod here of the zaken, then there's no room for voluntary kiyum. So we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll take a half hour break for anyone who wants to join us for the shiur. We have a shiur for 45 minutes in Bach Mitzvah. We're learning the beginning of Shnayim Oks and Vitalis. We're up to the Sugi Rukhiyah. And that will commence in just about a half hour from then. Okay, then?
In this room.
Right here in this room. This is the room that they